This podcast is brought to you by Refix, a natural and organic isotonic drink containing 78 sea minerals. It's available on Amazon UK now, and it's heading to the shelves of all major health food retailers and pharmacies soon. Oh, that is nice.
It is nice. It's really good, though, because when I was talking to the guys at Refix, it kind of marries very well with our brand, because not only is it replacing like your normal kind of sugary isotonic drinks with something that's all natural after training, but also for like things like hangovers.
Important like, for our clients.
Yeah, super important for our clients.
Because a lot of those them things. Are hungover
they when love they come into the gym. Drinking and training.
The flavours are good. That one we've just had now, what is it?
That one's orange and they've got lemon. And then they're bringing out Extreme Hydration, which is mixed with coconut water as well as seawater, because they get the minerals that would normally be added in to a...
Floating around in the sea.
Exactly, they just pull it out of the sea.
78 of them.
It's filtered very, very well.
And it's the Spanish sea as well. So...
The cleanest.
Special sea. And also, they do things to help the planet. They do regular beach cleans. They help tidy up our oceans. It's just a great drink and great people. So we're happy to be partnering with them for this podcast.
Our lovely listeners can buy Refix with a little discount, can't they, George?
They can. It is BTL15. And you type that into the discount code on the Refix website and you get 15% off.
That is BTL15.
Refix. Seawater. Sea hydration. Extra slurps.
Sorry,
you drink all the time.
Super slurpy. Hey guys, before we get into this episode of Before Lights podcast, here at Before the Lights, we are super supportive of all our friends who are actors and their strike with the Screen Actors Guild. Therefore, we've held on to some of these episodes until the strikes are finished. So some of the stuff they say might be dated or it might have already come out, but we're super grateful for the time they've given us and it's still super interesting chat. So yeah, have a listen and enjoy.
Hey, I'm Dave Hasty.
I'm George Ashwell.
I'm Josh Betteridge.
And I'm Georgia Canavan. And we are Before the Lights.
We work with actors and teams behind the scenes in film, TV and sport to keep their mental and physical health ticking over on and off screen.
On this podcast, we talk to some of them about how they get the most out of their mind and body and everything in between.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
This week we're talking to Izzy Lockland. You'll know her from Foundation, Good Luck to You, Leo Grand, and she's popped up in BBC comedy Ghosts as well.
And she was also in Harry Potter when she was younger and in The Inbetweeners, so it's a really interesting conversation with another actor.
She's been going a long time.
Yeah, where they've grown up being an actor, so it's super interesting.
I also think she had one of the funniest fail stories to date.
Yeah, her audition gone wrong. It was hilarious.
Nothing better than people...
Dave's favourite part of the podcast is the embarrassing story.
Oh yeah, by far. We also chat to her about finding her love of weightlifting and how that shouldn't be such a tricky world for women to navigate. So enjoy.
Dave, do your F1 noise. It's really good.
Good, eh? Pretty good.
Did it work?
That's just doing a raspberry, isn't it?
Well, you do it.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
See? That wasn't bad. That wasn't actually bad.
Like that. Yeah, that is, yeah.
No, that was shit. All right. I'll go again. Close your eyes, everybody.
I'm looking up. Yeah, it's a car.
That's how we start all of our
is
podcasts.
Is this going car some sounds. Length to making you feel less nervous about being here?
Yes, yeah, being in the gym. But then you're going to ask me questions. I'm like, I don't have, yeah, no.
But if you don't know the answer, you just go.
That's you're getting better. Yeah.
If anything comes of this, you'll have learnt that. And that's great.
Intro time, David.
Intro time. Welcome to the podcast, Isabella Lockland.
Whee!
We'll just call you Izzy because it's weird saying Izzy. Isabella. Yeah. I like Isabella though.
No,
it's a lovely
it
name.
Like
lovely
trouble. Name. Thank you.
Who
but,
how many people
but
call
I've
you
never
Isabella?
Called you it in my life.
My mother.
And then no one else.
And people who don't know me.
That's your work. That's your working name.
That's my working name. Yeah.
So on set, do you
yeah,
request
are like,
Isabella?
Isabella. And
on the call
like,
sheet,
please
it's
call
Isabella.
Me
yeah. Oh, so you don't say, please call me Isabella.
Please call me by my Isabella India Jane Lockland, please.
India Jane?
Yeah.
Didn't know those ones existed.
Mine's
Barry, if you wondered.
Huh?
Mine's Barry.
Yeah, I'm Paul. It's very boring over this side.
someone make the noise. Someone make the noise.
My mum told me I had a middle name, and then I used it growing up, and then found my birth certificate. There isn't a middle name on it.
Oh,
it's even on his passport, so he's just been lying about it. He's just really wanted
it. She just made it up.
Yeah. Even I have an email address, which is now, like, I feel very fraudulent when I use it.
But you can sneak in and out of countries, and they don't know you've been there.
Luke, if you're asking.
Georgia, what's yours?
Eliza.
Oh.
Okay, good.
That's enough of that.
Back to what I was saying.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh. Izzy, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And then
we have been asking you for a while.
A little while. In that time, I have, because I do a little bit of background research on people, sure, sort of, you know, what jobs they've done and all that kind of stuff. Your IMDb is just like goes on and on and on. I was like, which one? There's too many to like talk about, I thought.
Thanks, David.
Because you've been acting for a long, long time.
I've been about, yeah.
Without being rude.
Yeah, yes.
You're not old.
You are old.
But you started very young.
You started, 16. That is quite young.
Just a child.
That is quite young, yeah.
So you started acting pretty young. And as a result of that, have you been things from Harry Potter, Inbetweeners.
What's going on?
Oh, hi, Louise. As I was saying earlier, it's quite important that we look after Patrice.
Have you just called through my dog shit?
Yes, Louise, I have.
And then more recently, Foundation, which is on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, baby.
And that's what we've been kind of working on most recently.
Yes.
But we've known you for a long time. We've worked with you for several years.
I think it's 10 years.
It's coming up to our 10-year anniversary. Woo! What the hell are we going to do?
Mm. We're going to have a big party just for you.
When is that?
Next year.
It was a Saturday. I remember you coming in and saying
you?
Hello.
Yeah.
Aww. Just be like, who's that?
Yeah.
She looks like a dude.
Yeah, I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified.
Of going to the gym.
Because I just thought, I remember I had to do, there was some sort of...
Assessment. Well, I remember the email, the original email.
From me?
It was either from you saying, I got your email from my agent, or it was your agent saying, can you email this
Can you sort her out?
Is that when you first came in?
Yeah, it was kind of I was like, I don't think this is for me, this exercise stuff. I don't think I want to sort of stretch my body in this way. It's not enjoyable. That's too heavy. Why am I sweating?
You say all these things out loud in the gym.
I was about to say,
these are things you've kept to yourself. Very well.
Nothing's actually changed a huge in our 10-year
relationship.
You swear
at us all.
She squeaks as well.
Yeah, you're the squeaker.
When something's hard, it's a squeak.
Although I was thinking today when you were training, you're so much stronger and fitter than, because I was sort of reflecting on the 10 years.
Oh.
When you'd first come in,
yeah,
the things that you guys were doing today, I was like, wow, that's like a whole different league to when you first started.
It's only taken me 10 years.
No, it's only taken 10 years.
Yeah, it's like a lot of people and everyone has their own journey, but you've tried kind of everything we offer. And then we finally found what you actually enjoy doing, which is lifting heavy weights.
Which is training with Georgia. Took us to hire Georgia.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, this is actually good.
It's so good.
Yeah. Oh, this is a good thing.
Okay. I wish you shout out your other trainer from when you filmed. Overseas.
Oh, yeah.
Ian
Benson. So on Foundation, there was a personal trainer who came all around the world with us, and he got me squatting. And again, when I went to his gym in Ireland, I was like, I don't think I can do this, actually. It's too heavy and it's going to hurt my back. And I don't think it's for me, actually. Where are the boys? Angie. And then I just sort of fell in love with it. It was just something about seeing your strength going up and up and the weight going up and up. And then being like, excuse me, what is that little guy running down here? Lovely, getting everyone to touch it.
Izzy's pointing at her triceps.
Yeah. This is a podcast.
Everybody was touching it.
I got everybody to touch it.
Yeah, so he got us in shape. There was a sex scene that I had to do, and they were like, yo, girl, get down the gym. So I started squatting. And,
did they say word for word? That's what they said.
Yeah.
In email as well.
Yeah,
not even written.
You down the gym. But no, I sort of fell in love with it, and I came back, and we've carried on doing it.
Did you feel just stronger in that transfer into kind of everything else rather than just the gym bit?
Yeah. I mean, like it took about 3 months to
it takes effort and time.
Yeah. Because I see people walk into the gym, I'm like, I want to look like that. Why can't I just do that?
You don't see the years beforehand.
Yeah. Like my energy levels were sort of up like it's never been done before.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was really sort of focused. And I mean, obviously it really helps, isn't it? When you have like a goal, you knew that I started training with Ian in like the December 21. And then that scene was in June 22. So we had a long old time. But there's something knowing it's all for a goal really helps.
To caveat that 10 years you've had with us,
that has been.
No, don't write that off.
No, come on, I've seen you, but I've seen you for other things.
I wasted my time for 9 years, 6 months.
To put that into perspective, that was you working all those jobs that they've mentioned on IMDb, never getting into any flow or consistency, just being like, fuck, I've got to get ready for something, having 3 weeks doing it, and then just going to work and not training when you're there.
Yeah.
So having this time and this consistency, which is a trainer that's on set with you constantly, changes the game. Because then you're like, okay, now I can get into the mode where it's like when you go for a run, the first 5 minutes are always awful. And you just kept doing the first 5 minutes. Yeah. You just kept doing the first 3 weeks, which are the hardest bit. And you never actually got into the rhythm of it. Yeah. And then finding this rhythm makes such a difference.
That just sounds awful. The idea of never getting past that point.
Never getting past the awful bit.
Should we talk a bit about the actual show? You mentioned there was a sex scene, but there was a lot of training involved around that. Because your character comes in season two, right?
Yeah.
So for people that haven't seen the show.
Oh my God, don't ask me what it's about. It's really massive.
Is it a big sci-fi world?
It's a big sci-fi number.
But is it quite like physical? Is there a lot of physicality to it that... The training was really important for that, or was the training more so for aesthetic?
It was just, more for sort of aesthetics.
Yeah.
But like, and also for some people who were training with Ian, it was about stamina with like long speeches that they had to give. And that really saw that really, really helped just doing some cardio sessions with him.
Yeah. And we definitely worked with you when you've done plays.
Yeah.
In the build up to being on stage, because that's obviously a totally different demand to filming. That as an audience member, you don't necessarily think about like the physical strain of having to do those.
I would say it's more demanding doing, it obviously depends on sort of what you're shooting, but if you're doing a play, I would say it's more demanding on your body, and therefore you sort of need to look after yourself even more because you're doing 8 shows a week, running around long ass monologues sometimes.
Yeah. Because you do quite a lot of stage, like you do, but you sort of go between stage and screen stuff.
I do, my dear.
You do. do you find like you are aware when you haven't kind of prepared yourself? Have you felt a difference if you've like really trained physically? Yeah. Not learning your line.
Shit. Yeah, like I said, it all depends on like what you're playing, but it's more about like the length of the play in terms of how long it is, how many weeks it's on for.
Yeah.
And
also, I'm guessing like how long you're on stage for any segment of time.
Yeah.
Like if it's like a two-hander and you're spending the whole time on stage.
Yeah.
Like the equivalent of that in filming terms is like you filming a 2-hour scene without stopping every day and sometimes twice a day, which would never happen.
The play that I've just finished, it was a 3-act play, and it was all sort of set in the 1920s, big sort of parties, and the 3rd act was just a mother and son just going at each other verbally, and
thank you for clarifying that.
They were real life mother and son, so that was
so you just sat and watched that every night,
so we just watched them, but they were just exhausted and in terms of like, and how you have to structure your day as well, and knowing that your day sort of starts around about 4 or 5 p.m. you're like, right, I'm off to work to sort of...
How do you go about structuring your day? Because you tend to train in the morning normally, like, so you're usually in relatively early, and then you've got, I guess, sort of the rest of your day after that, but if you're in a play, you know that all of the kind of the big effort of your day is much later, and you're up later.
Yeah.
Do you then have to change completely your kind of schedule? I
hate exercising in the afternoon. I just can't.
Everybody has their time that they feel is like that's my spot.
Otherwise, I just won't do it.
Yeah.
If I was doing a play, then I would train in the morning and then sort of faff about for a bit. But then I like to get into the dressing room quite early. I don't know why. There's just a sort of like ritual of getting in there for like maybe 4:30-ish.
That's so quite
that's
early.
Like 3 hours before the play.
What do you do? Do you just kind of chill out a bit?
Just sort of chill out, just to,
I guess, that's
around.
Good then, you're not sort of like feeling like you're rushing into anything,
and
you've got time to kind of compose,
you have to do a warm up and all of that sort of stuff. And
could you do your warm up? Is it like Dave's F1 sound?
No, that literally is. It's one of the, it's a bit of that,
is that it?
Yeah.
Is that a bit of Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, I'll do the whole thing, you ready?
I thought you just forgotten the lyrics.
Am I gonna do the whole thing? And then I was like, don't do that. That'd be a really weird 8 minutes for everybody. former part of stage performing, is that something that you get taught? Like, is there like a thing? Like, if it's a football team, for example,
it's pretty standard.
There's like sort of set things that you would do. But as an actor, is everyone doing the same thing, or is everyone doing different stuff?
Everyone's doing sort of different stuff. Some people don't do vocal warm-ups.
Mm-hmm. Some people do some mad shit, though.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen people, like, shove the fingers down their throat and stuff like that to get, like, into a scene or into a...
You just reminded me, there's a guy in Soho who's, like, a voice manipulator bloke. It's not, like, chiropractic or anything, but he, like, moves it.
That sounds like torture.
Doesn't it? It sounds horrible, but it must work.
No, I'll just take Manuka honey, please.
Yeah. Smart. Is it licorice root tea or something, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then like steaming and all of that sort of stuff. But
is
like,
this what you do in your 5 hours before the play starts?
5 hours before, yeah.
Steaming drunk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isabella, are you ready?
Yeah.
Just watch the steam.
Oh, fucking
Abbott. Cucumbers over your eyes.
Yeah. No, but it's all, but it's even on the last play, because I hadn't done a play since 2020, and we all know what happened that year.
Lockdown,
yeah.
Okay, just clarifying. To make sure we weren't missing anything.
Not something personal.
No. But I know that play, we only did 8 performances, and then we found out via Twitter that we weren't going on that night.
Via Twitter?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we were just running lines. We had just had press night. We hadn't even had a midweek matinee. I was just scrolling through Twitter, and then I saw a statement from the theatre saying we are cancelling tonight's performance. We're like, lads, we're not going on.
Yeah.
So that was it. And then you were like, boom, no work for ages.
Yeah.
We trained a lot though in lockdown.
We did on Zoom, didn't we?
I remember
I
that.
Fucking hated it.
Never have I known somebody get so many flower deliveries. Your little garden.
Yeah.
I'd always get an update of what was growing.
What was going on.
Was
I know
great.
Because I got really into gardening.
She was trying to distract you.
I was like, do some squats. She's like, look what's growing in the garden.
Yeah, exactly.
Did exercise help in terms of giving you a bit of structure? Like, you were like, I've got this session at this time. Because I guess, like, say, normal people, most people were still working in some capacity.
Yeah.
We were kind of affected in the same way because our job's very one-to-one with people and we couldn't go in.
But you guys were on Zoom a lot.
We could be on Zoom, but we had to change it in that sense. But
yeah, it just wasn't the same at all.
It was so different. And, like, the structure of our day and, like, I would go and, like, do a sort of extended period, like skipping or something, just to have, like, a chunk of time. I was like, that's what I'm doing at that time. Because it was so foreign to be like, I don't know what I'm doing today.
Yeah.
Did you find that was something, like, from a mental health side of things that was, like, a real shift?
Yeah, well, it gave a sense of sort of normality, didn't it? Just sort of being like, I know I'm seeing David at, I don't know why, like, still doing early times.
But that's what you're just saying. That's just your time.
Keep it at 10.
But it probably would have been, you wouldn't have wanted to do it later in the day. Especially on Zoom, because it is shitter than being in the gym.
And also, it was time to crack open the rosé around about sort of 2.
You were gardening. You're pruning the roses and a little glass of wine at that time.
Spring was gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Everyone was going for such long walks.
Yeah.
Social walk.
Everyone became, someone said, everyone became a wine mum.
I think that the Zoom sessions were great, though, because then when everything did start back up again, you hadn't had a long period of time without training. So when the gym opened up and we were able to get people back in again, you were already kind of like hit the ground running sort of thing.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't really know if it made much. And this has nothing to do with your technique at all, David.
Very offensive.
But I just don't know if it had the same sort of effect.
It didn't help
at all.
It wouldn't have, no, because you're not in the gym and it's like you're in your living room with a limited amount of equipment. But
with your bands,
you definitely have it maintains to a certain point, so that when you get back into doing like the heavier stuff, it's not such a shock to the system. Because I think we saw a lot of people that were like injured from not doing anything and then going straight back into it.
But I remember at the end of 2020, I got a job actually with our good friend and colleague Papa Asiedu.
Yes.
And we actually did some of your YouTube videos.
Yeah, because you guys were up in like North Yorkshire, weren't you?
Yeah.
You were filming Anne Boleyn, wasn't it? So it was like loads of old castles up in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it was lovely.
And we did try and do a few Zoom sessions, but it was such patchy reception.
Yeah, it was literally.
You guys were also in some really weird hotels. I remember there was one where it was like huge 4-poster beds and stuff.
Yeah,
and
they put Papa in that room. I don't know. And then the rest of us in a sort of like dingy.
He got treated like the star.
Yeah, he did.
No way.
I see.
Well, that's good to know that the old YouTube ones, plug for those if anyone's listening.
They're still there.
Get on the Before the Lights YouTube channel. The worst thing was when I did an entire one, and because it was lockdown, so we were all going in separately. And you kind of know that the other two had been there because like something would have moved a little bit or whatever, but we never saw each other. And then I'd gone in, set the camera up, press record, done the 20 minute session, gone over to the camera and been like, didn't press record. I had to start the whole thing again. Like, just started that session really sweaty.
Oh, man.
I was like, whoa, okay.
Welcome back to the lockdown session. Yeah.
It's just the fact that you were, like, talking to no one.
Honestly, I felt like such an idiot. I was just like, you fucking moron. Yeah. I was so angry. I had, like, a good 5 minutes of just being like...
30 minutes of Dave narrating his own training session.
When you know it's not recording, it's just so dumb, isn't it?
Snippets and going, come on, guys, you can do
this.
Yeah,
you can do it.
Come on, are you with me? Yeah.
Since you started then training with us,
yes,
all those years ago,
yeah,
would you say that now it's like an important part of what you do as a person in general is maintaining your health?
Yeah, 100%. So I think when I came to see you guys, it was very much like, I'm coming here for my career, and if I get really sort of to a sort of place where I'm really happy, then obviously all the jobs are going to open up, and that just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen like that. I had to sort of reframe it of like, I'm doing it as for me, in order for my mental health, rather than for a job. So I had to put me first, before the acting, and that to me is more important. And if I lose some weight by doing it, then, you know,
it's having that purpose when you're not working, because no one's working consistently. Other than, I mean, you recently have been working fairly consistently, but up until that point, it's like, you need to have that purpose when you're not working.
Yeah.
You need to have that kind of real reason for getting up in the morning, that real reason for, and if you can, instead of thinking, all right, I'm doing this so I can get work, you're going, I'm going to do this because this is what's going to keep me busy.
I don't want to sort of like completely burn myself out when I'm not working, and then as and when you get the job where, you know, maybe you're required to look a certain way, then actually you can sort of go hell for leather as and when you need to.
I think for anybody going to the gym in general, it's always more of a just do it to do it. It takes the pressure away from if it's an aesthetic thing or if it's a performance thing or if it's a whatever. It's just doing it to be doing it in the first place.
I think it's like maintenance and consistency. Really?
Yeah. Well, your bodies are built to just be moving, and every system that we have, and from like the way the brain works, the way the blood pumps around the body, all that stuff, it's like it all works much better and much more efficiently if we have a baseline of just moving.
Mm.
And it can be just walking.
Yeah. If you move, if you sleep, and if you drink water, the body works.
Yeah.
It will take care of itself, better. And it's just giving it a little bit of like goodness in
it's
some
taken
sense.
Me 10 years to realize that it's not a great idea to sort of like drink every day. You know what I mean? because you will be tired.
It's the tiredness. You're like, I'm tired.
God.
Why?
Also, you've learned that it's not just a hard hour at our gym that's going to make the difference. It's doing the hard hour at our gym, doing the long walks, doing the soul cycle that you've been starting to do.
Yeah.
Like all the activity around, like making your whole life active, not just thinking that 3 sessions a week is going to solve everything.
I think also you have to find the thing that is not going to be a ball ache to do.
Yeah.
You know, that you're dragging your feet here. So doing squats and bench is sort of a thing that I like doing now, and then finding, because I'm not a cardio girl at all, and then I found SoulCycle and just like, oh, okay, I can get on board with that. I can't run, I don't want to do
is
that.
Is it the music-y bit that gets you?
Look, as you know, I love to pop a squat to Diana Ross.
Do they have special Diana Ross classes?
Pride. Yeah.
Get the quote, there it is.
Squat. And they do sort of like Taylor Swift versus Beyonce. I'm like, yes, please.
So you'll go to a session based on, you know, which kind of music's going to be on.
And a certain instructor as well, who I love. But also, yeah, it does help if you sort of like, I can just sing along at the top of my lungs and no one can hear me.
Yeah.
And I can just zone out. Yeah.
They must be able to hear you, surely.
You're in the same
room.
It's really
loud. It is really
loud.
Literally,
they play it so loud.
Yeah, yeah, I can't hear myself breathing.
Yeah, that's smart.
Which is good.
I put myself at the back. So
I also feel like it's a nice type of cardio because you're not like jumping around.
Exactly. Yeah.
And ladies with the boobies, it's not the one. Nope. Running, jumping, not the one.
You're really good though, G. You're sort of up for trying anything.
Any class.
I have ADHD and I'm so hyper. I need to like burn out all my energy, otherwise I'm a psychopath. That's the honest truth. But you also have tried many different, like, even just you and me, I've trained you for like 2 years.
Is it 2 years?
Yeah.
Good luck. Right.
Another anniversary. Yeah.
It's another anniversary.
I'll take you out, girl.
Oh, yeah.
We'll go full cycle.
Yeah.
And you've done bar, Pilates, weightlifting.
Yeah.
Like more functional stuff. Like you've just tried it all.
I will give it a go.
That's the thing.
But I will tell you if I don't like
if you
it.
Hate it. Yeah. That's hands up. Yeah. Hate that.
That's good though, because sometimes like you honesty. Have like sessions with people where you're like,
that's the quote.
You're so unaware. Like you're trying to be like, is this? Are they enjoying this? Do they like it? And it's like you can waste an hour doing stuff that someone hates. Whereas like,
but also
you if you're just like, I don't like doing this. There's no point in keeping on doing it. If someone doesn't
like it. But occasionally, as he says, I don't like doing this. And we're like, no, you're going to do it.
But then you know. Then you know. That's where like the 10-year relationship comes in. And they're like, I know you're trying to bullshit me here. You just can't be
asked. And you just had a drink the night before.
Yeah, you just hung over.
Was it like training with a female instructor to a man?
Yeah, different energies. And I feel like you understand more in terms of like what it is to be a woman and what you want to work on and how it sort of feels.
Don't mention it. It's okay. You can be honest. She's like,
basically,
oh,
I love
wanna,
Georgia more than you guys.
Yeah, we know that.
No. You know, certain other gyms that I might have tried along the years,
yes.
When I'm away, obviously, where you sort of, when you want to do squats and all of that sort of stuff, and it is very sort of male dominated, and it does sometimes feel a little bit like you're being watched, and there's been a couple of times where someone's like, you're right, darling, do you want me to help you? I was like, no, I'm fine, thank you.
Look away.
Yeah. Has that changed a bit? I remember you saying, Josh, when you were at the gym near your house, you felt like there'd been a shift in terms of there's a lot more women in the kind of heavy lifting area, which I think is a great change that's happened recently.
I think there's a lot more there, but from my experience, I don't think a lot of men have changed in those environments.
No, I agree.
Sadly. Still making it an uncomfortable
making
place
to be. Making
it
weird, putting their stuff like right next to girls when they're training so that they can walk over and be like, and it's such a weird thing to watch.
Say to the men, think
I think
about
once you've trained like in our place, it's quite hard to go to a normal gym.
Yeah.
Because ours is like safe little community and private. Like when I go to my gym, there are more women lifting weights, which is really awesome to see, but I still go to the corner of the room. I'm like, hide.
I think there is a sort of, I don't know, I think there is sort of, like you say, to sort of hide and to be like, I don't know, I think there maybe there's this sort of myth of if you do lifting, then you're just suddenly going to get like hench and look quite masculine.
Yeah.
And did you have that sort of thought before getting into doing the heavier lifting?
Oh,
you
God,
were just like, I don't want to do that because of...
Yeah, I suddenly thought I was going to become a gladiator. And I was like, I don't...
Then you realise it takes real effort to get that.
Yeah, and steroids as well.
like the food you have to eat.
I just thought it just like wasn't going to be, it just wasn't going to sort of suit me.
And now you're like getting everyone's touchy muscle.
You're the best advocate for actually like deadlifts and squats and bench press from a female's perspective. Because you've kind of done it and you've found the benefit of it from the complete opposite of what most people would think it was going to do.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I am almost like exhausted by the end of it. I'm like, let's have a nap.
But, like, that's different, though, to, like, doing it and then thinking, oh, I'm going to put loads of muscle on and be really hench, and I don't want that.
Yeah.
Like, you can train in that way without having, if you're not specifically trying to put on muscle, it's just the best way to build strength in your body.
It's also another way to burn calories, like the amount of calories that you burn lifting something heavy.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of even, I come from more of like a gymnastics, and like, I didn't lift weights until I was about 20, like mid-20s, but now I love lifting weights. For me, I feel so empowered, and the reaction to my body is just the way forward, but I think there's still that lack of education for women, because even clients now who I've trained, they just can't get it out of their head. Oh, if I lift this 5 kg, am I going to get bulky? And I'm like, it's 5 kg.
You wish.
And you're not eating enough. Yeah.
How do you think that changed? Just because to me, it's like, if you guys keep doing what you're doing, which is amazing, that then shows the next generation, like, oh, it's fine, we can lift.
I guess now's a good time because it's like the Women's World Cup and stuff with the football team.
Oh, yes.
They're like elevated now to a position where everybody knows who they are, and rightly so.
Yeah.
They're like full-time professional athletes who train and lift weights and all that stuff, and they look like women.
They look like normal, but if you look at like the other extreme where you've got the CrossFitters, I think everyone has that vision that, you know, but those women have been athletes and lifting weight for years.
It's like the CrossFit guys.
Yeah, they all
Nobody
have a
else
specific...
looks like them. They look like Ninja Turtles or something.
Yeah.
Such and a weird shape of, like, that is a thing, that's a product of that sport.
Of that sport, completely the types of movements they're doing. And, like, for women in that particularly, they've got really small glutes, big quads. So a lot of my clients will be like, oh, I don't want to look like this. And I'm like, we're just doing a goblet squat with 8 kg. Like, it's not. Yeah. So I think, like, we're slowly getting there. Like, all of my female clients I train all lift weights, you know, and...
Is he the best one?
Obviously. Yeah. I really enjoy teaching you weightlifting. You're so it's really exciting to teach you.
Thanks, babes. But just seeing your weight going up and up and up, where you're like, when you try and do your top squat 1 week, you're like, oh my God, my whole body's going to cave in. And then you go back and do that, what, in a couple of weeks' time, you're like, oh my God, this is actually moving.
Do you find that that kind of show, it's like a transferable resilience? That you're like, you tried it, it didn't work, it felt impossible. And then you've gone away and done sort of smaller work behind the scenes, and then you go back to try that thing again. You're like, oh shit, I did it.
Yeah, totally.
Does that help, like, doing other stuff as well? Do you think like, I can do this?
I think weirdly, I mean, like, and this is also, I don't know how I'm going to make this link, but like knowing that you know, like you say, when you go off and do other little bits of other exercise to get you to that place, it's also like, oh yeah, like you say, you can sort of apply that to other things. And I don't know about everybody else, but like during lockdown, I completely lost my curiosity of sort of everything, and like also within my industry as well, and knowing that, like, if I read a play that I haven't read or seen before, then that could, like, sort of help me further down the line was some sort of in some other sort of scenario. Do you know what I mean?
It gives you, like, the tools to, like, the faith to be able to do these little bits to get this bit
going out of that comfort zone, whether it's like you're used to reading only this style of play or this particular author, and going, actually, I've heard that guy's good, let's try that out for a bit, and I'll have a read of that.
You don't know what you do and don't like until you try it.
And it changes.
It does, everything
changes.
I don't know about you, but whenever I do like a heavy back squat and then leave the gym, I'm like, out of my way.
Have we got, and can we go on to an embarrassing story?
Dave's favourite part of the podcast.
Yeah, I do have one. Oh God. I have one where, so I went in to this casting director's office, and like I hadn't met him before, and he was quite someone who I was like, I really want to sort of impress. And did the scene, and it was quite a sort of gritty number. And then he was like, okay, so we're just going to move into the dance. I was like, oh God, what?
You didn't know about the dance.
I didn't know about the dance.
Oh, God.
Was it on the back of an A4 piece of paper? Like,
No, my agent had just forgotten to tell me.
No. What kind of dance?
It was breakdance, David.
Oh, no.
Of dance.
I was like, what? Fine. And I was like, fucking hell. Okay. I've seen Save the Lance Dance. Was that... okay, right. I was like, no, yeah, no problem. No. Cool. So you don't move the chair out the way, he puts some music on. I think I just kept on, like, I was like, okay, right, I've just got to do this. So I just started running around in circles.
Waiting to drop into the half pipe.
Were you doing that thing where they, they skip as if they're about to do something? You're doing that one. Just doing the arms.
And then so I was running around for a bit in a circle, and then I dropped to the floor trying to, I think what you were doing with Papa today, it was like a sort of like,
like
cross body.
I love that so much.
Please tell me they had a video of this.
Oh, there is a video of it.
Who was the casting director? Let's email him. I want to watch it.
I was just doing that for a bit and like whatever. And then I was like, I can't get up here because I don't know what you're meant to do when you get up.
Also, did you have a moment when you were like, how do I stop?
You spin on your bum and then you end in that pose where it looks like you're posing with some jeans. That's it.
Did you stop or did they interrupt?
They were like, okay, that's enough. Yeah. And do you know what? I didn't get the part.
Oh, that's so good.
What is the role and who got the part? I really want to see
this video. I'm picturing it being like if there was like someone in the background about to jump in, but there's no one else there. So it's just you.
And I left and I was just like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? What am I doing?
There's a nice space out there.
I'll show you some moves afterwards.
Nice. Have a go. That's one of the best ones we've had.
Did you ever get asked back to audition for him?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever breakdanced?
Acting was great, but fucking breakdancing was awful.
Have you ever tried breakdancing since?
No.
No, that was it.
Did I put that on my CV? I don't think I did.
It's like Joey and Friends. Isn't that a bit where he has to dance and he said he can.
Yeah,
but
he said he
just runs out the room.
Yeah.
I put on my CV when I can roll a blade and roll a skate. Oh. So under skills.
Can you?
Oh. I can actually.
Four wheels in a line and four wheels separated.
Are you competent in both?
Yeah.
Well, we're going skating.
We're going skating.
We're definitely going skating now.
Need to prove it.
Well, that brings us nicely towards the end. What's in the pipeline?
I am doing another Apple series, season two of a show called Surface. Because apparently I only like to do season two.
You're the guy they call in when season one hasn't done too well. Let's get Izzy in again. Yeah. She can break dance.
Quick. Yeah.
That's always fun.
She can break dance. Oh, no, she can't. She's the one that can't break dance.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So season two of Surface.
Yeah.
That's what we're filming at the moment.
That's what we're filming at the moment, yeah.
Nice.
Is season two of Foundation out already?
Season two of Foundation is out.
Any more plays coming up? Are you still filming?
Still filming.
Still filming.
She's
still
doing
filming.
Some filming, David. We've established that. Yeah. Also, Izzy's very good in Good Luck to You, Leo Grand.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Love that.
Thanks.
It's a very good film if you haven't seen it yet.
I remember that happening in lockdown.
Yeah, that was wild.
Norfolk.
Norfolk.
Look what I know.
Come on.
Look what Dave remembers.
I remember loads of stuff.
Yeah.
And he can break dance.
And I can break dance.
Actually, I've seen Dave break dance.
Have you?
Yeah, you did it in Australia.
When?
You definitely were drunk. I remember it because I couldn't believe how quick your legs could move around despite them being like that.
I don't think I can believe it.
Thank you very much for coming.
Yeah, on. Let's
thank you,
thank
cut
you.
The crap.
We love you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Claps, claps, claps.
Claps, claps, claps.
Claps, claps, claps.